You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following my chat with Simon, I spoke more about the amendments to the Policing Act with Gahan Gunasekara, the convener of the surveillance group within the Privacy Foundation and an associate commercial law professor at the University of Auckland, about concerns these changes will create a surveillance state. Here is that chat. What is the Policing Act and what amendments are the government making?
Well, that's a good question. From the announcements I've seen, there have been one or two hints as to what the government is aiming to do, but the detail is yet to emerge. So one common ground that I would have with many of the people on both sides of this debate is that I think I see the Police Association chairperson has said that we need better rules for what the police can and can't do. And I would agree with that statement. I would think that, if there's a lack of clarity, I think there could be better rules as to what the police can do with taking pictures in public. That said, I disagree with the minister's statement of giving police back powers that they used to have, because the Policing Act has been understood to have certain limitations, and now it appears the government wants to take those limitations away. So whether that leads to carte blanche photographing of images in public, that would be a concern.
And what happens with these videos and images police are taking? Are they deleted after legal proceedings, or what happens with them essentially?
Yeah, well, that's a $64 million question, and I think that really is the issue. Nobody has a problem with police monitoring the public, perhaps taking photos, where there's an imminent risk of there being some public disturbance or something, to identify who is there and who might be causing it. But if there's no disturbance and the protest disperses, or if there's no crime committed, then there's no real reason to hang on to those pictures. So, and I would draw your listeners' attention to a very important report that was, I think, a few years ago, 2022. There was an investigation into police photography of rangatahi, so especially Māori youth, and there were thousands and thousands of images of people who were mainly minors, teenagers and minors, and perhaps slightly older individuals, but still they were rangatahi, and these were collected on police officers' personal phones often, and there were thousands of images, and they were asked to basically catalogue them and then delete them. So the investigation by the Privacy Commissioner and the Independent Police Complaints Authority, it was a joint report, it was very strong that those images were unlawfully collected, and there was no purpose beyond perhaps intimidating those individuals, or it was just some kind of photography which was an exercise of police power, where individuals really didn't feel free to stop police doing that, because these children, are not really, they're quite vulnerable. And those images were asked to be deleted, and the police have had trouble deleting the images, because one of the issues is the police didn't know how many images they had, on which devices they were held, and that's part of the problem. So I would think that is a concern, and remember, people's images of their faces, different from other types of personal information. You can't basically order a new face. You can't change your face. Your face is you, and therefore it's particularly sensitive. And that I think, is the concern that we need to be aware of.
You mentioned that study and how it had been found by the Independent Police Conduct Authority and Privacy Commission back in 2022 that this was sort of disproportionately affecting Māori and rangatahi in general. With these amendments, would this sort of exacerbate this even more?
Well, that's an obvious concern. The minister's statements suggest that the government is now walking back from the promises they made at the time to comply with those, with the recommendations of that report. So at the time, the government committed to, and the police publicly committed, to actually complying with the terms of that report. But the minister's statements now suggest that maybe they're trying to somehow turn the clock back and legitimize that type of collection in future. It may not be the case. I don't know. The minister's statements certainly aren't that specific that we can say that that's what the minister wants to do. But if that is the case, then I would be quite concerned, because those vulnerable groups would again be quite concerned. And in overseas studies have shown that this kind of behavior leads to profiling of individuals. It leads to the targeting of certain ethnic groups and socioeconomic groups. And the whole point of retaining these images is the kind of premise that these people are inherently suspicious because of who they are and may commit crimes in future. And that, I would ask you listeners to consider, is very much the premise of the old sci-fi movie Minority Report, starring Tom Cruise. And if you remember, the premise of that film was to predict who would commit a crime and jump in before they even commit a crime. But that's really stigmatizing people to say that somebody is predisposed to commit a crime. And I think as a society, we need to be careful to avoid that.
The police association, who are in support of these amendments, say that recent cases have left officers confused on when or when they should not take photos and videos. Why are we seeing this, as I guess the police association believes, the sort of lack of clarity, and will these amendments address these concerns?
I suspect the reference there is to the recent Tamie Funa case, which many people may not have heard of, but it was a decision of the Supreme Court. So that's our highest court. So there's no further appeal from that court. And it was a majority judgment, but even some of the dissenting judges in that agreed with the ruling of the majority that what had happened there was not really permissible. It was unlawful. So just to give a quick snapshot of the case, an individual was photographed at a random traffic stop, and they weren't the one targeted. It was the driver of the car who was unlicensed. So but their photo was taken just as being a passenger in the car, just because they perhaps looked suspicious or something like that. You know, there were circumstances around it. The police were suspicious. So then the police entered that photograph into their database. And by complete coincidence, not too long after that, they were able to use that photo to convict that individual of an unrelated crime. It wasn't a traffic-related crime. It was a burglary. And they were able to show that that same person was the one who committed it. Now, it was just luck that they had that photo in their database. So leaving aside the facts of the case and whether that was justice was served or not in that specific case, I think we need to move away to the principle of the case. So the principle of the case would be to say that police can take pictures of anyone they think is suspicious and keep them potentially for unlimited periods of time. And that's, I think, the concern. There already is power for police to take pictures of people in connection with an investigation, in connection with when they're charging someone. If they charge someone and then the prosecution is not pursued, then under the Policing Act currently, the images have to be deleted. So if the images are going to be retained, then I think there would have to be some clarity around for how long do individuals have access to those images to see if they're still held, because the Privacy Act, don't forget, gives people access to their personal information, and images are personal information. That's beyond question. So there's a lot of issues here. And in the Tamie Funa case, there were clear breaches of the Privacy Act because the individual wasn't told why the images were held. He wasn't told, you know, we suspect you might be doing X, Y, Z, or we suspect, or we are investigating criminal activity in relation to this type of matter, and that's why we're taking the picture. He wasn't given any information at all. So the Privacy Act wasn't complied with. The purposes were not specified. He wasn't told how long the images would be held. So these are the kinds of questions. If they're going to clarify the rules, then I would like to see those rules clarified. I'm not against there being rules for how police collect information. I think that would be a good thing, and I have some sympathy with the police who might be, you know, struggling to interpret the rules. So I think it would be a good thing to have some rules, but I think I would be very much opposed to any carte blanche discretion for the police to decide how long they're going to retain the images and whose images they can take. I think that would be a move towards a surveillance state.
That was the Privacy Foundation's Gihan Gunasekara on the concerns regarding the amendments to the Policing Act.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.